Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I'm joined by a wonderful member of the EV Cafe team, and this week, no exception, I've got the inimitable John Curtis. Welcome, John.
Hello, darlings. It's easy for you to say inimitable.
I know. I'm surprised I managed to get it out. Anyway, every week we are also joined by an innovator, pioneer and collaborator from our industry. And of course, this week, no exception, we have the wonderful Aaron Jarvis from Geotab. Geotab, a sponsor of the EV Cafe. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going very well, and all the better for having time with you.
Thanks.
So anyway, Aaron, listen, I've been close to Geotab for a little while now, and as have we all here at the EV Cafe, but we've got to know you a little bit. But tell us and for our audience how you ended up at Geotab and what you do for Geotab.
I will. So how did I end up at Geotab? I'll go back a little bit. So before Geotab, I worked at Vodafone. So having completed my degree, I didn't know what I wanted to do, like a lot of people. So I applied for and was successful in joining the Vodafone Group grad scheme, which meant I got to work kind of internationally across all the different elements of Vodafone. And that took me through lots of the different elements of running a business or being involved in it in a large business. I did some product management, I did some project management, and ultimately I ended up going through the Internet of Things part of that business, IoT, into the automotive sector. So I was working initially there, or should I say toward the end of my time there, on some implementing some telematics programs on one side for insurers, so the kind of under 25-year-old driver black box policies to help keep young drivers safe and bring down their insurance premiums, and then also into the kind of luxury car market, helping with stolen vehicle recovery devices and rolling those programs out through luxury vehicle manufacturers. And we spotted a bit of a gap in the market, which was in the European market for a really innovative fleet management product. So through those roles, I ended up spending a lot of time speaking to large fleets about some of the problems that they were having. And at the time, there wasn't really much in the European market that was flexible and could meet those customers' requirements. So as Vodafone, we went out to market to find a partner that could help us meet these customers' requirements. And over, you know, quite a detailed procurement process, Vodafone settled on Geotab as their partner for fleet telematics. And Geotab are very good at recruiting. So I came across onto the Geotab side of the world. And that the reality behind that is I am a bit of a nerd. So I like the technology side of things. I like being able to say yes and come up with solutions for people's problems. And Geotab at its heart is an engineering business, privately owned, founded by an engineer and his friends and family. And that's kind of core to the way we do things today. So, you know, our job is to support our partners, so Vodafone's of the world, you know, with a number of channel partners globally, in solving problems for their customers that have large vehicle fleets. So I joined almost 4 years ago now, and I have been looking after sales and business development in the UK and Ireland and some pan-European projects to get us started in the UK market. So I think when I joined 4 years ago, we weren't very well known and we didn't have that many customers. And over those 4 years, we've grown quite rapidly. We're, you know, one of the leading telematics providers in the UK now. We're rapidly going towards 100,000 connected commercial vehicles in the market, and that's really enabling us to spread our wings. So we've just launched our Brunch Hub program, which I'm sure you guys will be aware of, where we're enabling fleet managers to get together and talk about how they're using technology to solve different problems. We're in some of the largest fleets in the UK. We're, you know, helping them look at their charging infrastructure, how they transition to electric vehicles, how they decarbonize what they've got today, and how they can report on that, and how they can be compliant, and how they can make a good plan, essentially. So, yeah, I've helped build out the UK team and our approach to the UK market, and I'm also really good at giving super long introductions about myself.
I know, we're only just getting started, just scratching the surface. But Aaron, look, I mean, when I look at my life and I think, where am I today and versus where, well, I'm kind of like you in many respects, you know, as I was younger, I had no idea of where to, what were your thoughts as you were growing up? What floated your boat? What got you to be the person that's sitting in front of us today?
Good question. So I said I was a nerd. I used to play some of the most nerdy computer games that you can imagine. And one of the challenges of those computer games was getting groups of people together and getting them to do stuff together. So as a spotty 15-year-old, I would be on headsets shouting at 40-year-old Swedish men that were part of these games, and they were owning software development businesses and all this kind of stuff. And just getting them to do stuff together to kill massive, poorly pixelated dragons and other things. So I guess I always had a leaning towards being bossy, or a leader, if I were to try and be a bit more positive about myself. And then at the time, being a professional gamer, there was a bit of a barrier to entry, which was you had to be able to spend quite a lot of money on equipment to record yourself. So I couldn't do that, and I probably wasn't good enough, to be honest. And then I started to look at sport. So when I went to university, I took on my first sport, which was rowing, at the ripe old age of 21. So I was very obese and unfit, having started smoking, I think, when I was about 14, and not done any exercise at all. And then again, kind of went on the journey there. I started rowing, became quite addicted to getting better at it, became club president over a few years. So again, being a bit bossy, I wanted the club to be run the way that I wanted it to be run. And then, yeah, went into Vodafone and started to look at things that were a bit nerdy that meant I could boss people around. And here we are.
So we've got a strange combination between being a signed up, fully bought in nerd and also a rather bossy leader. But actually, I know that you're not bossy in that sense. I know you lead from the front. And what is it about kind of going down that road of leadership and, you know, making things happen? What is it about that floats your boat?
I think, as much as I would often probably say that I don't like people, I do like people. So, you know, I think I really enjoy the aspects of my job, which are working with my team. So I've got a really great team in Geotab globally. And that was one of the things that attracted me to Geotab generally, is the people that I met were all great and, you know, all a big family. And then now in the UK and more broadly in Europe, I think we've got a very strong team of people that I like working with, and I like to help other people develop and help them solve their problems. So whether that's, you know, someone in my team that's got a complicated technology issue where they want to deliver something for a customer and they don't necessarily know how, I enjoy helping them solve that. And equally for customers and for the industry, you know, I've enjoyed the stuff that I've done with the EV Cafe and with the kind of the rest of the industry in terms of connecting people that can solve a problem together, or giving people advice, helping businesses that are integrating their technology with vehicles figure things out.
And within that career that you've had the last 4 years, Aaron, what's the thing that you're most proud of delivering?
I think the team that we've built. I think we've our USP in the UK specifically as Geotab is we've got a really technology solution orientated team. So it was something that we went for early on. You'll notice that not many of the Geotab UK team have telematics backgrounds, because when you're a business full of really smart people in telematics, you can teach anyone the telematics, and we've really focused on highly competent people. So if I look at our engineering team here in the UK, I don't think any of them have a telematics background. Yeah, that's true. None of them have a telematics background. So, you know, Abhinav leads that team. He was at Ford testing engines for 11 years. We've got everyone in that team has a vehicle focused background or a data focused background and are highly competent. And then we've taught them our product and how to, you know, interact with customers and use that product to solve their problems. And it's the same in the customer face, you know, the sales teams and the teams that manage our relationships with customers. A few of them have telematics backgrounds, but the majority are ex-fleet managers, you know, ex-channel managers. They're all people that are highly competent that we've then taught Geotab. Because honestly, having a telematics background is a little bit of a limitation when it comes to working at Geotab, because it is so different to other products in the industry that you can be a little bit hindered by your previous knowledge. So another ramble about what I'm most proud of, which is the team that we've built. I think it's a really, they're all sat in the office today having lunch together, and we've got some team building stuff this afternoon, and it's all people that I want to spend the afternoon with, if you know what I mean, and would kind of go into any complicated situation with and be confident we could solve it.
You talked about your people and that they're highly competent, yet you end up working with Paul. How did that happen?
Well, you need the exception that breaks the rule. So, you know, sometimes we go out into London and have a drink and we just need someone to laugh at, to be honest.
It's understood. Yeah, we're the same in the EV Cafe. Yeah. That's your role, Paul.
There you go. So I found my purpose in life. That is, I mean, I feel better already having my life validated, bringing a smile to other people.
But in all seriousness,
that's an
interesting
thing from you, Aaron. Sorry, mate. I was just going to say, one of the key things I'm learning about you is your sense of humour. Is that you are somebody who has quite a dark sense of humour. You're very, very quick with your mind, and you're not frightened to say stuff. You know, you speak as you think. It's really, really refreshing to talk to somebody who is, well, faster than Paul by a long way.
Thanks.
Is that something that you look for in your people, that they are those bossy nerds who are very, very quick on the uptake, that are like you?
Yeah, I think so. And it's that kind of quick on the uptake, and thanks for your kind words, is what I would hopefully describe as the competence we're looking for in the team. Because, you know, we've all been speaking to an expert that needed to go away and, you know, find out the information, and or just told you something because they felt like they needed to say something. What we want to have is people that can sit down with, you know, some of the largest fleet managers in the world, or businesses that are really struggling with a decarbonization issue, and help them figure it out. And I think on this EV journey everyone's going on, the unique part of it is for the industry is we've all been running diesel vans for a long time. We don't know, and we know the problems of those, and yet Geotab can help you with the problems of those. We've got a lot of smart people, but we kind of know the problems. It's not often that we go into a meeting and someone goes, oh, I didn't got this diesel van issue that I've never seen before. Like, generally you've got some DPF problems, you've got maintenance, the vehicle's off-road, whereas in electric vehicles it's almost every day that we're sitting with someone and they're like, oh, I didn't think of this. And what you need is someone that can be confident enough to get stuck into that and be wrong. And we're often wrong, you know. That's the we think we look at this data point and we apply this rule to it and we're going to solve that problem. Actually, we've introduced five new problems because we've just found out some other stuff we didn't know, and we can kind of iterate on that. And that's to the serious answer to how we ended up working with Paul. I think you can have a lot of competent people. What I said at the start was we've got the business that knows telematics and the smart engineers that designed it, and then we've applied competence to that in other things. What we didn't know 4 years ago was much about the EV market in the UK. And, you know, the electric van man knows a lot about EVs. He might not be confident in other things, but we can make a dynamic duo there and add some specific answers. And especially when you're looking at vans that can be different conversions and different weightings, and, you know, there's a lot of complexity there that actually you need some expertise. And that's, you know, where Paul really helps us out, as well as being able to laugh at him sometimes.
Well, it's important to be able to laugh. And I think we've all got to be able to laugh at ourselves, because I think you hit the nail on the head there, in that there really isn't so many experts in this space now, because we're all learning each day. I mean, I talked about the time, and I've talked about it many times, where I thought a sodium battery had something to do with salt, and actually it didn't. It's to do with metal. Who knew? But there's many people that have fallen into that trap, I will say. But you know, we're constantly learning and we're constantly moving forward. And I think it's important to do that. And with that in mind, I know that, you know, obviously being fortunate enough to have some of the knowledge of the inner workings of Geotab, I know that we work with kind of setting a baseline around our carbon emissions and helping people kind of set the marker. Talk to me about how we help fleets kind of start that process and kind of not so much the process, but really that benchmarking of themselves against other fleets and carbon output, etc.
Yep, sure. And that's actually a really interesting point, because when we first started in the UK, we very much started from the knife edge of Geotab's technology. So we've got electric vehicle suitability assessments. I think we are probably the first to market with that in terms of the ability to look at real world data and spit out this van should change to this van. We've got some really great infrastructure analysis that we've done with some very large fleets in the UK, right? Put these charges here, change this. But what we found actually is that when you speak to most fleet managers in the UK, you know, you've got the exceptional ones where they've said, well, we've got 8,000 vehicles, we're changing them all to electric and we'll make it happen. Most fleet managers said, well, yeah, the CEO said that I've got to bring my carbon down as a business, and actually I'm just scared to do anything because whatever I do is going to be wrong. So we quite quickly pivoted in the first sort of year that I was at Geotab to looking at the step before starting to make big changes, which is the benchmark, as you say, Paul. So where I think we can help everyone is helping them get the data that they need. And I'd say data specifically rather than insight at this stage, the data that they need to build insights on top of. So, you know, if we look at the scope 1, 2, and 3, there's a lot of assumptions built in.
Talk to us about that scope 1, 2, and 3, because a lot of people listening, and this is really important, I think the context for why we're having to report this information and where that scope 1, 2, and 3 comes from is really important. So could you elaborate there for a bit?
Sure. So the emission scopes are essentially having a business either report their emissions from burning things, their emissions from charging batteries, or reporting their emissions from burning things and charging batteries to people that they're providing a service for. And when you take that, then when you look at the detail of that, the kind of guidelines around how you report that take in a lot of assumptions. So you can do all of your emissions reporting based on just the miles that your vehicles are driving, which sounds great. Oh, that's easy. Well, I've just got some GPS data and I know that Paul drove 100 miles today-ish, within 10% of 100 miles today. Well, great. So if Paul drives 100 miles every day and we're timesing miles by something else to get carbon within a 10% variance, well, suddenly our carbon emissions just there swing by 10% every day based on that variance. But also, even if we got that level, well, we can never reduce Paul's carbon emissions without making him drive less. Now, I'm running a business that needs Paul to drive 100 miles. That's an easy way to start reporting. It's a pretty crap way to move forward in reducing the emissions that you're reporting. So where I think Geotab is quite well placed is because of our focus on getting the data before providing the insight, is we can help you report on the actual fuel that your vehicle's burning. And then that 100 miles can be achieved with less fuel burn, and suddenly you haven't taken the easy option, you've taken a bit more of an expensive option to get to a real baseline of data. And then the insight, which is the next step, is some of what you mentioned before, Paul. So now we're taking that data, so we've got the EV Cafe fleet, 100 vehicles doing a certain type of job, running a cafe. For some reason they need 100 vans to do that, and we can compare that fleet in the cloud using magic AI stuff to other fleets doing similar things to help them benchmark themselves. So the EV Cafe are doing a great job of running their 100 diesel vans that they haven't transitioned out of yet, despite being called the EV Cafe. And maybe they can quickly identify, which has never happened, we're the best 100 vehicle fleet in the world at running 100 vans. In reality, most of them have too much idling, low MPG, they're overloading the vehicles, they're not running their route sufficiently, they've got vans that they don't need. You know, there's all of these kind of hygiene factors that you can address just by getting some data and then drawing insights from that before you start thinking about, well, should Paul's van be electric? You know, should we get a hybrid there because we're operating in, you know, a country that's generating all of its power from coal? Or should we get a hybrid because actually the, you know, the carbon efficiency overall of that is better? We can do all of that stuff, but where we've started in the UK is from the other end of the spectrum. You know, what can we do with the vehicles you've got? Not least because not only are fleet managers scared, but for a long time they haven't been able to get any electric vehicles. So that easy answer of, yeah, I'll just switch them all to electric was not so easy from a starting point, let alone from the fact that once people that did that got all the electric vehicles, they didn't all work for the job.
But this is what I love in, I'm a hater of data. There you go. I've said it. And I know we're talking to Geotab, but I'm a hater of data. I am a lover of insight, and I enjoy kind of the tools that we can give to fleet managers and to businesses, because we know recently many businesses in the UK, the top 500, had to report on their downstream emissions, right? So many, many companies will now be getting really challenging questions from the big companies, the top 500, saying, you know, how much CO2 are you putting out into the atmosphere? We know from these UN SDGs, I can't even remember the acronyms, something Sustainable Development Goals, that's it. Thank you, John. The Sustainable Development Goals, the Scope 1, Scope 2, Scope 3, and all of the different elements. We now empower, through this stuff, those guys to make real positive input into that process, starting with a benchmark and working out how we can be more sustainable with the vehicles that we've got, not just moving to electric, as you point out, because we don't have that opportunity all of the time. And actually still some of the solutions out there are beyond the scope of an electric vehicle in some respects. Not all. Most have an opportunity to move into electric, but there are some that don't. And for those that don't, you know, I love that insight that we can bring. What would you say has been your biggest influence around this piece of sustainability? I mean, you can talk about the biggest influence in your life, but also particularly with regard to sustainability, what's influenced your thinking on it?
Very deep question. I remember there was one of the COP summits, and one of the kind of key things there was some pictures of some cities that were completely flooded due to global warming. And that I'm a big believer that it's businesses that need to change that. So, you know, a bit controversial to say, but whether or not I go on a holiday on a plane that's already going to fly somewhere has limited impact. You know, I think it's easy for business to say to consumers, hey, don't buy things in a plastic package, you know, whatever, you know, to get an efficient oven. But I think if a fleet of 30,000 vehicles drives around the country emitting less carbon, that's where the real impact is. So, and I've always, since I've been thinking about such deep conundrums, thought that the, you know, the onus is on big business to make changes in that way. Because I've seen, you know, starting in a career at Vodafone, I've seen how a big business can make a decision that actually has a really significant impact, you know, whether that's to thousands of people's jobs and lives, and you know how a company like Vodafone that's on the forefront of maternity cover policies and those sorts of things, well, that's a much bigger impact than whether what I do to support people's pregnancies, if that makes sense, in terms of on the grand scheme of things. And I think that's true in the business world. So my bit of a tangent, but kind of seeing those images of like the world's going to be really screwed if we keep screwing it up like this, and that context of, well, I think businesses can change that, then seeing the sort of technology that we can deliver through Geotab and Geotab's vision of enabling business to be more efficient and reduce their emissions is the thing that drives me to kind of get more stuck in and keep driving Geotab forward into more businesses and, you know, into a more of a thought leadership position. Because I think we've got some of the smartest people, not me, that can actually apply their thinking to really large fleets and help them move forwards.
You just, very, very interestingly, you've self-deprecated. And I was sitting here thinking, what a confident person Aaron Jarvis is, in that you have huge self-confidence, that you don't take a backward step. Everything is moving forward. How do I do? How do I enable my people to do? And any question, you've got an answer. Where does that self-confidence come from? Have you always been like that?
Trying to always have an answer and sounding like you're self-confident is a bit different to actually being self-confident.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I think my partner would tell you that I've always got an answer, and that's not the right thing to necessarily have. But yeah, I think I like helping people. I like talking to people. I like making people laugh. Mm. So having an answer that's a little bit funny is that's where I like to lean into, rather than having a boring answer.
Is it a defense mechanism? Is it defensive? Is it something where you thought, you know, if I stand proud, and you're a big guy as well, aren't you? You're 6'5", something like
6'4",
that?
6'4", yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you're a tall person. You walk into a room and people notice you. Is it your way of coping? It's mine. You know, I to a certain extent perform. So I'll go into a room and every fibre of my being wants to run away and to hide. But I have learned to calm my nerves and to trust other people to support me through it, and I'll be fine. Is it a defense mechanism for you, or is it genuinely who you are?
I think it's probably a defense mechanism for anybody that's comes across as extroverted, right? So yeah, I'm normally one of the taller people in a room. I'm normally in people's way. You know, I going to stuff so true. Outdoors that's in front of you always makes me feel a bit in the way of things. I hate entering a room late. You know, when you guys are doing an EV cafe at an event, I hate being late to it, because it's like, oh, here's that massive guy that's kind of walked in and made everyone look at him. And then you say something funny, right? Because it's like, rather make people laugh than be annoyed that you've turned up late or you're stood in front of them. So yeah, probably. And equally, I don't like other people to feel shitty. So, you know, if I can, rather than not answer a question and the other person feel bad about it, I think I'll probably try and answer with something that makes them laugh. Then
let's just explain that to Paul, that being tall thing. It's you know,
oh dear. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the tallest person in the room, but I'm not the shortest either. So
I'm in that room. So that's one thing.
Yes, I am the tallest person in this room, because there's nobody else in there.
You had just about that plant, so it's all right.
I know. Yeah. There we go. Do you know what? It's funny, isn't it? Because as human beings, we have our defense mechanisms, and I think probably similarly, you know, humor is one of the ways that, you know, you kind of step, or to be likable. So you, because there are days when I'm definitely not likable, because I get irritated and grumpy and snappy and, you know, prickly. Do you have those low moments? Do you have times in your life where you've really had to explore the depths for yourself? You know,
I mean, you've been in enough team calls at Geotab to know that I have grumpy low moments. that's a good point. And actually, Paul, I look to you and your kind of positivity generally is like that's the way I want to be perceived by people. And, you know, I know that there's no way that you can be as happy as you come across all the time, because, you know, your missus is sat outside the house because she's not allowed in. So, you know, that's...
there's a story behind that. Don't listen to him. Anyway.
But yeah, so I think I would... Because again, when you're with someone that's having a crap day and you can tell they're having a crap day, that's a bit draining on everyone, right? So, you know, we've got 30-odd people here in the team, in the direct team, and a much larger business. You want to be the one in the call that's bringing everything up, not the one that's necessarily bringing things down. But yeah, I mean, kind of as you're saying, John, when you turn up to an event and there's loads of people, especially in your role like mine, where it's my job to go and speak to everyone and build those connections, most of the time I'd probably rather be at home watching TV. You know, like that's an easier place to be. So that's probably why I like endurance sports, because you don't really talk to anyone. You just sit there and get on with it. But
yeah, because you've done cycling, haven't you? You've done long distance cycling as well.
A bit, yeah. I wouldn't call myself a cyclist, but I have cycled some distances. Yeah, that's and that was that actually. So I think you're referring to as I cycled Lanthan to John O'Groats as part of a punishment at Vodafone for leaving work every day to go to rowing. They needed people to do a charity bike ride. So, and that was an interesting thing. So I met a lot of people there. In fact, it was just as I was transitioning to a new team. So I went and cycled for 8 days, 1,000 miles or whatever it was. And I got to meet people with the excuse of not talking to them after a few minutes because we were riding bikes. And that was kind of perfect for me. Oh, hi, yeah, you're a senior guy in the bit of the business I want to go to. Oh, hi, and you're, you know, the head of this thing. Nice to meet you. I'm Aaron. Yeah, I'm really tired, actually, so I'm just going to cycle a bit because we've been cycling for 6 days. Great. Like, perfect. A bit different to going to a conference and someone sits next to you. And it's like, great, we're networking for 2 hours, are we? Fantastic. I've just had some bad news at home, but yeah, we'll have a positive chat about decarbonisation for a bit.
I love your real worldness. I really genuinely do. I didn't know you, Aaron, particularly well. We've spoken a number of times, but it is always that polite chat. It's not the, you know, oh, I know you. And as a result of today's chat, I'm beginning to see that there are huge similarities between the three of us, and probably much wider. And we don't talk as a general rule about those chinks in our armour. We tend to just get on, do the job, push through, go home, watch the telly. But you being so open is a really fabulous tribute to you, actually, and the genuine nature of you, because I've heard lots of people talk about you within Geotab and say, you know, he's a great boss and he really inspires us and he pushes us hard to deliver good quality stuff. And I've always seen the kind of very intelligent, very purposeful, hardworking Aaron, but actually there's a really decent, genuine human being in there.
Who's really good at bribing people to say
absolutely
nice things.
No, definitely not. I'm just calling a halt to this. Enough of this, though.
No, I appreciate
I've
that.
I've never said anything like that to you, though, Paul, have I?
No, never. bloody hell. But, Aaron, it's an important point because I know, and have been involved in the team a little bit here, I know that you have a very positive and tolerance, not the right word, because it's more than tolerant, because it's open door kind of positive about the challenges that people have mental health wise, some difficult situations, both in families and personal lives that have been around you. And I know how you supported people in those times and given people space and things. What is it in your life that has brought you to that place? And before you answer that, I'm just going to go and get a plug and a cable to plug my battery in because it's going to die. So we'll just...
You're binned, mate. The EV Cafe now has a new member. It's Aaron Jarvis from Geotab.
I've been waiting for that call up, to be honest, John. I was offended not to be invited. Despite the fact I never knew any of you while you were setting it up, I thought that I'd wowed you all so much that I'd just be a member from now on.
I think we need to have a conversation offline.
Let's kick Paul
in
out.
In the meantime... Yeah, let's do it. Let's raise the tenor of this conversation just a touch and talk about success. You've got visionary capabilities. You have insight. You're bringing innovation to the marketplace. What does success look like for you in the next 12 months or so?
In the next 12 months, I think so. From a business point of view in the UK, you know, we're on a mission to be the number one telematics company. You know, there's you enter anything with all the good intentions in the world, you know, decarbonization is very important, but you know, anyone that's working for a commercially focused business that doesn't say they want to be number one is probably not being quite transparent with you. So we want to be number one based on number of vehicles connected, commercial vehicles connected. And then if I was to put a softer spin on that, the number of fleet managers helped. So that's, I think we're maybe 12 months away from that, maybe a little bit longer. So that's kind of from a business point of view. And then personally, I'm kind of going through a bit of a journey of figuring out how to be a proper adult, I guess, in the sense that I'm very much all or nothing. So for a long time, the whole time I was at Vodafone, I'd say I was prioritizing kind of doing rowing and a bit of sport over doing the work stuff. And then kind of during COVID, I focused, that was when I just joined Geotab. So I really focused on my career, and I'm at the cost of, you know, doing basically any exercise. And so I'm trying over the next 12 months to get a bit more of a balance of spending more time with my family and friends and doing some sports that I'm not only doing, so I can try and be, you know, really competitive at them. Just I turn up and do some exercise. So yeah, I'd say that's probably the personal and the business goal.
Thank you. Paul, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I'm just wondering, did we get to the answer to my question?
No,
because I raised the tenor of the discussion because we were going down a very dark, deep hole. And I just thought, do you know what? Let's end on an up.
Okay. Well, we won't go back to my question then. My question will remain forever unanswered.
Good, because I don't know the answer to it.
But it's a tough one, isn't it? I think it's the humanness that you have in you that just kind of is able to relate. And I think not as a negative, I think that's a huge positive. And, you know, that ability to be empathetic, to walk in somebody else's shoes. It's interesting because, you know, the challenge of being tall, and I've actually listened to a podcast of somebody that was exceptionally tall, like 7 foot, nearly 7 foot. And they felt constantly bullied by the fact that they were tall. And, you know, I think it's something that we don't necessarily expect to hear about people that are tall. But I think that maybe has helped you allow more time for other people. But anyway,
it's a cross we've had to carry, both Aaron and I, in being good looking as well.
Yeah. I feel that a lot. It's been very difficult.
Well, anyway, listen, Aaron, we tend to end, and I don't know, goodness knows what you'll do with this, but we tend to end with handing you a magic wand and allowing you to wave your wand in any way you wish.
This could go anywhere.
Just remember who you represent today. How would you like to use your power in that respect?
I would wish for you guys to have told me you're going to ask me this question an hour ago, so I could think about it.
Can I just say, if you'd have read the email that was sent out, you'd have had all the information that you could have needed.
Look, mate.
Here comes the bossy nerd.
No, something that's quite topical for me at the minute. I mean, you mentioned before, Paul, kind of people in the team and people in the family that are struggling with things. And it's not wanting to go too deep with it. I think, you know, there's some things in the world, like cancer, for example, that are like really crap. And I'd like to see, you know, more investment into making those things less crap. That's, you know, and probably magic doesn't exist, and if it did, someone would have used it to get rid of cancer because it affects everyone. But I'd like to see, you know, us making some more medical progress towards that being less of an issue for like one in three people, which is mental.
And a big amen to that. I've got a couple of friends going through some quite serious stuff, so that's a good wish in my book.
And decarbonization as well, obviously.
Do you know what, though? I think, you know, so I think we've got these two conflicting priorities, right? You know, there's the big world goal, and then there's the goal for one individual over here. And actually, the two are quite closely linked, you know, the air quality and all of those kinds of things. It's a very real thing. Baron, it has been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit today, and also to kind of see how you dovetail with the business of Geotab and enabling a business here in the UK to really thrive and make a difference to fleets around decarbonisation, around that emissions benchmarking, which is going to be so important over the coming months and years as businesses begin to get their heads around this. It's going to be a fantastic couple of years as we go ahead and help businesses solve that problem, which is something that I heard many times you use today. Solving the problem, solving the problem. We have lots of problems. Some we can solve. Some are more challenging and we can't solve, but with regard to these emissions and everything else, it's good to know that we're in safe hands, I think. John, any final thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Aaron, I've got a question for you. Are you a hugger? When you meet people, are you a throw your arms around you and give you a big squeeze?
No, I'm one of those people that feels really awkward about the whole situation. That's
seriously?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude. We were about to go there.
We can't hug. We're not. I can't hug the. This is easier.
I know. But seriously. So when I next see, because I feel like I know you now. So when we see each other at an event.
That's it. You're getting hugged.
It's easy. If the other person initiates the hug, that's easy. It's when that awkward moment about, like, are we going to hug? Is that like, are we close enough? Are we. Is that weird? Is it going to be like a sexist thing if I hug you? Is that like, no, there's a whole world of things that make me concerned about hugging people randomly in public.
Okay. Don't worry. It's coming. My hug is coming to find you. I've loved today.
It's beginning in Scotland and it's going to end up somewhere just outside Ealing, you know, just kind of whack.
It's definitely coming, my friend. Thank you. Brilliant. Appreciate that.
Well, guys, it's been great to have this chat with Geotab today, and in particular, Aaron Jarvis, who has been tremendous. Aaron, we've really enjoyed our conversation, as we always do privately, but, you know, today we get to do it publicly, which is fantastic. So, everybody, do check out Aaron on LinkedIn. He occasionally goes there. I'm sure he'll be going there much more in the near future. he's on YouTube under the Geotab banner. Occasionally, there is a YouTube video with him in it. So do check him out there too. But the Geotab website is a great place to go. But make sure you stick UK in the end so that you can find the UK arm, as it is a global business. And if you want to check out more podcasts from the EV Cafe, come and get over to our website, evcafe.org, and also, of course, follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and all those wonderful places. But for now, that's all, folks. Have a great day. Thanks, John. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, mate.